guides us in life's pathway, how God is good to show us how we ought to live. And here the psalmist says in verse 9 of Psalm 25, "The meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way." The meek, one who will be willing to obey the will of God, one who will be willing to yield himself to the sway of the Holy Spirit guiding us, showing us, teaching us. Well, here the psalmist says in verse 10 of Psalm 25, "All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies." All who trust in the Lord will guide. Abraham was someone who knew God, and he understood the good word of God for his blessing. And therefore you see him hearkening to the word of God. We can fail the law, but it doesn't mean that is the end of that journey with him. But he leads us along to grow in grace, to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham was very grieved, but he had to trust God's promise, to trust God's promise and care to direct him to do what is best for him. God consoled him with the promise that Ishmael would become the father of a great nation. And the Lord made it clear also that Isaac was the promised son through whom the covenant would be carried out. If there is a prayer that Abraham would pray, it's perhaps given in Psalm 25, verse 15 to 22. Psalm 25, verse 15 to 22. As you study the Psalms, you would see how God uses the prayer of his saints recorded to guide us, to comfort us, to bind the brokenhearted. Here the psalmist writes, "My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net." Indeed, Abraham is as it were caught in the net. "Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins." At this point, Abraham must have reflected upon the things that has gone on in his life, in his heart. "Consider my enemies, for they are many, they that hate me with cruel hatred. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Oh, redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles." So the first thought, why art thou cast down? We can do wrong, and we are cast down. And we can suffer affliction also for no wrong that we do. And we can be cast down. Abraham had to send the mother and child away, verse 14 of our text says. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. It was tragic that the teenage boy and his mother were sent to the wilderness with just a bottle of water, you think of it, and bread. Humanly speaking, it's untenable. How could they survive? It must have broken Abraham's heart to have to do so. You see, as you think about the situation, could he not have sent his servants to tag along, to care for them, to provide for them the needful provisions for their resettlement? Logical, isn't it? Abraham was a very wealthy man. It was within his means to make adequate reparations. Why did he leave them in such a state of poverty? Perhaps the relationship in the household has been so bad, so estranged, that he had to send them off quickly. No discussion. The tension was hitting the roof. It was acute. Of course, we can recall how Abraham was generous to Lot and his family, how he pleaded for God's mercy upon them. And we also hear, as we look at the text, it does not explain, but we see simply given in this narrative the affliction of Hagar and Ishmael in the wilderness. A focus that we would like to look at. Verse 15 of our text. And the water was spent in the bottle. And she cast the child under one of the straps. And she went and set her down over against him, a good way off, as it were, a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. You would think that the relationship between Ishmael and Abraham must be estranged. But we will also notice here how Ishmael was there. If you look later on in Genesis 25, how Ishmael came to the father's burial. So that relationship was good between the father and the son. We also noticed that Abraham had other sons by his concubines, and how he did send them away with gifts. But why for Hagar and Ishmael it was in this hurried way? Well, Hagar and Ishmael were dying from thirst in the wilderness. And there you see her crying for help in the barren wilderness. You see, when she came out of Egypt, she also was someone who was acquainted to know the God of Abraham, the Lord God Himself. And Hagar, well, we say that yes, they may not have conducted themselves well in Abraham's family. Perhaps it was because of their pride, the way they interact with Sarah, that caused that tension, that caused them perhaps to be, what we said, justly chastised for their behavior. Because all the other concubines, you would see later on in Genesis 25, will be sent away peacefully. with great gifts from Abraham. They're wandering in the wilderness, missing the way. What happened? Well, we saw her cry in the wilderness in her affliction. The psalmist says in Psalm 42, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before thee?" As it were, Hagar and Ishmael were cast away. "My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto thee, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, with them to the house of God with a voice of joy." So for Hagar and Ishmael, they could remember the good times that they had in the family, in the wholesome time before the complication, right, of the jealousy and the envy that destroyed the peace in that family. God heard the cry of Hagar. The psalmist says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." She pleaded with the God of Abraham, who hearkened to her cry. You see, this was not the first time Hagar was cast into the wilderness. You remember the first time when she knew that she was expecting a child, when she first knew that Ishmael is coming in her womb? That was the first time, and the Bible described how she despised her mistress, how her mistress was despised in her eyes. And that was the beginning of the contention, and she ran out of the house. And the angel of the Lord found her by the fountain of water, Genesis 16 tells us, and said to Hagar, "Where wilt thou go?" And she said, "I flee from the face of my mistress." So it was, you know, a dispute that has gone on for 14, 15 years. And so it's not a, it was a brewing dispute that reached a boiling point, as it were, if you think of it. And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands." You remember we saw that before. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, "I will multiply thy seed exceedingly also." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Behold, thou art with child, and thou shalt bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction." It was Sarah who gave Hagar to Abraham. She was the handmaid. So as the handmaid, as a maid in the house, she had little say in her well-being, as it were. The master says, "Give her as a surrogate mother." It was done like that. And so you can imagine the kind of affliction that goes through in the heart of this handmaid. But Hagar experienced the mercy of God. Verse 17. of our text. Hope thou in God, the people of God, can call out to God. Hagar knew the God of Abraham. God's mercy was upon them. Hagar experienced the mercy of God. God spoke to her personally to assure her of his promise to the child and to provide for her in the wilderness. Dear friends, do you have a need in which you felt that there is seemed to be no way in which it is going to be met? Well, we have a God who answers prayer. We have a God who will be merciful to you. If you would wait upon Him, if you would seek Him, if you would call out to Him. This was Hagar's experience. In her time of desperation, in her time of need, God was there for her. God heard the voice of the lad. Verse 17 of our text says, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven. God spoke out of heaven and said to her, commune with her. Well, this is the life we have with God. When you place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ dwell in you. The Spirit of God is called the Comforter, the Parakletos, the one who would come alongside you, whom you can call to for help. He will be your present help. He is there with you and for you to help you. Will you call to Him? He is the Comforter. And this was what Hagar experienced in her time of need. The Spirit of God came. The angel of the Lord came to comfort her, to provide a way out for her. Do you feel yourself in a desperate situation, forsaken, forlorn, needing, well, human help, all lost, no hope in sight? Well, we have a God whom we can call to for help, who will not leave us in the wilderness. Verse 18, arise, lift up the lad, hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. How the faith of Hagar was greatly strengthened when she saw that water, that well of water. How God answers prayer. We have a merciful God. We have a compassionate God. We have a God who will not leave us without help, without hope. We may have made our mistakes. We are not perfect, not pure. But God does not forsake us because we are not perfect, because we have not been pure. God reaches out to Hagar at a time of her need. God opened her eyes. She saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. Psalm 42 verse 8 describes for us the solace, the help that we receive as we hope in God, as we wait upon God. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Is this your experience? It must be the experience of all of God's children. That loving relationship, the comforter with you, the comforter comforting you, strengthening you. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime and in the nights. The night time, a most difficult time for a worried soul. What will the Lord give? Well, His song shall be with me. The Lord cheers us up with a song in the night. You see, God is that real to us. God is that real for us. He will not allow us to go through affliction without being there for us to comfort us, without being there for us to suckle us, to console us, to keep us, to help us. This is our God, and the Lord wants us to know. So the psalmist says in verse 9 of Psalm 42, I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Well, are there those moments whereby you feel you have been totally isolated, whereby no help seems to be in sight? But the Lord is saying to you that He is with you. Let not your soul be cast down. Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. This was what Hagar experienced. God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. So it was a critical moment, life and death situation. God was with the lad, verse 20 of our text tells us. And he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. Right? She was an Egyptian. Not strange. She went back there and find a wife for the son. Well, we see God's mercy upon Ishmael. And God also predicted his wild character. You recall in Genesis 16, he shall be a wild man, verse 12. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. In spite of all this, you see, dear friends, the mercy of God. The mercy of God. We see in this passage a God of order that sets life aright by His wisdom. And yet, He is a God of compassion, ready to help those who wander away from the pathway of life. Whenever we face afflictions, the believer turns to God in prayer for help. And you find God indeed is a very present help. And the encouragement for us is, do not be discouraged, neither be thou cast down. How can you encourage your heart in the midst of affliction? Right? Some homework for you. What would be the practical step you would take? You learn from the psalmist, you learn from our texts, how God is our present help. We cannot help ourselves, but God doesn't leave us. So you see the God factor that is there. He superintends over our lives, beyond ourselves. That's how good, how great our God is. May it bring comfort to your heart. And may we be strengthened to go to Him for comfort and strength. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy grace. Strengthen us by Thy holy word. And bless us with Thy presence to comfort us. Keep us, Lord, in Thy care. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.